Washington is nearing the point of no return in its drive to create a globalized net-zero, carbon-free slave state. I am going to start off by saying, I'm not at all interested in what happens with the drama surrounding Donald Trump. Trump was built for this. He seems to thrive on it. But don't take the bait. Instead of being drawn into this distraction, I am laser-focused on what matters. Preparing for the collapsing U.S. banking system, the collapsing U.S. dollar, the continued march toward World War III and the coming persecution of all those who refuse to join the globalist technotronic beast system built on digital currency and digital IDs. War sometimes makes strange bedfellows. I recently found myself in the awkward position of agreeing with a University of Chicago professor. It's not often I agree with a University of Chicago professor, nor would he agree with much that I have to say. I don't know anything about his background, but if Professor John Mearsheimer read my recent Substack posts about the U.S.-Russia proxy war in Ukraine, he would likely find more than a little common ground. Listen to what Mearsheimer says in the below video. Mearsheimer is spot on in his analysis. I would only add one caveat. Ukraine will not be the only loser in this war. The United States of America will also have its comeuppance. Everyone around the world will finally see that the emperor has no clothes. That the entity in Washington people refer to as the federal government had no problem sacrificing an entire nation, Ukraine, all for its self-centered scheme of trying to deal a black eye to an old foe, Russia. There are two rules of warfare. All wars are fought over resources. And all wars begin as economic wars before they escalate into shooting wars. The war between Russia, China and the US, NATO is nearing the point where it will shift from economic to kinetic. What is the goal of Western globalists in trying to take down Russia? It's becoming more clear by the day that their goal is not to protect Ukraine from the Russian boogeyman, because if that was really their concern, there were ways to accomplish that diplomatically that were never even tried. But what did they do? They flooded Ukraine with weapons, they waged the most intense form of economic warfare on Russia that the world has ever seen, they have declared Putin a war criminal. And when all of this backfires, they will ultimately have to put American lives on the line if they really want to defeat Putin. Ukrainians are excellent fighters, but they simply do not have enough manpower to sustain a continued artillery war with Russia. For an update on the proxy war, Colonel Douglas McGregor breaks it down in easy-to-understand terms below. It's the best 20 minutes of time you will invest all week by listening to him. The U.S. goal is regime change in Russia and has been from the start. That will end in utter failure unless the U.S. plunges all the way into this war, which, as the professor says, is most likely not going to happen, although I wouldn't rule it out. Here is my theory as to why the U.S. and the West picked up that stick, as described by Professor Mearsheimer, and poked the bear in the eye. The regime in Washington thought it could bring down Putin by waging economic war against his country with the most severe sanctions ever levied against a nation in history. They thought they could cut off Putin's revenues by applying crippling sanctions and sabotaging his Nord Stream natural gas pipeline into Europe. At the same time, they found a hireling in Ukrainian President Zelensky, who willingly offered up his people like sheep to a slaughter by taking on the formidable Russian military. But now both of those strategies are failing. The Russia economy contracted less than 3% in 2022 and is forecast to actually grow a little in 2023. The sanctions have not only failed but failed miserably, to the point of backfiring. Now it's the U.S. economy that's teetering on collapse, with mounting bank failures threatening to unleash a crap storm of economic misery. There's no way the American government can continue to throw money at Ukraine while putting up hundreds of billions as a backstop to failing banks. Something has to give. The U.S. has $32 trillion in debt, which has surpassed 100% of its gross domestic product and is forecast to reach as high as 120% of GDP next year, something no nation can survive. Russia's debt-to-GDP ratio is a paltry 16%, according to the IMF. Plus, it has China as an economic backstop. With such low debt, Russia was able to not only weather the initial storm of the Western sanctions, but to then actually turn the tables and use the sanctions to its advantage through skillful diplomacy with China, India, Iran, Saudi Arabia and others. They now sell enough oil and gas to China and India to make up for what's not being sold to Europe. In the meantime, Russia's factories have gone to a full-time war footing and are running wide open making weapons and munitions, while the West is struggling to keep Ukraine supplied with weapons and munitions. We simply don't have the industrial capacity anymore, since we outsourced that capacity years ago to Mexico, China and the Far East. So the U.S.'s attempt at economic war against Russia is shaping up to be an epic fail. As that becomes increasingly obvious to even the dodo brains in Washington, they will find themselves at a crossroads with a set of choices, both of which are fraught with risks. Option number one, give Putin what he wanted all along, which is control over the Russian-speaking portions of eastern Ukraine and a guarantee that Ukraine will not be armed by the West nor encouraged to join the Western alliance, NATO. The risk here is that the US looks weak and more of its allies peel off and join the BRICS nations, the petrodollar collapses and the US becomes a second-rate power. Option number two, go all in to defeat Putin militarily in Ukraine by doing whatever it takes, up to and including the insertion of US troops and air power. This will almost certainly lead to China exploiting the US inability to fight a two-front war by invading Taiwan, while Iran may do the same and attack Israel. Nuclear war is the ultimate risk in this option. Either choice is likely to leave the US exposed as economically and militarily much weaker than most nations thought possible. The US has already lost the confidence of many formerly friendly nations, and if it shows weakness against Putin, the rest of them may be tempted to bail. Even NATO itself could burst apart at the seams. So, they may do the unthinkable and actually put US boots on the ground, or at least offer air cover to the Ukrainians with US warplanes. This all leads to the trillion-dollar question. Why is the US and NATO so intent on driving Putin to his demise? Remember our first rule of warfare, that all wars are fought over resources, and I think you have your answer. Western globalists envision a technocratic one-world system where everyone is monitored and scored on their carbon footprint, their use of resources. In order to do that, they must remove from the market all sources of reliable, cheap energy, which boils down to coal, oil, and gas. Since taking over Russia from the feckless Boris Yeltsin, Mr. Putin has embarked on a rebuilding effort aimed at restoring Russian dominance over its immediate neighborhood, but the US grudge with Putin is even bigger than that. The US and European powers have committed to a global plan that requires all nations to transition from oil, coal, gas as the foundation of their economies to a so-called net zero economy where no nation is allowed to thrive on cheap fossil fuels, other than of course China, to which they've outsourced our industrial base. In order to be successful, the misery must be spread around the globe. Why do you think US relations have also soured with Saudi Arabia? It's because the Saudis, like Putin, still want to sell their only real resource, oil, at a price of their choosing. Putin wants to continue selling cheap oil and gas to Europe and China. That's a direct threat to Western hegemony and the petrodollar, because how does the US and its allies compete with cheap oil and gas when they're relying on more expensive and less reliable wind and solar? If that's allowed, the petrodollar goes kaput. In short, the globalists' Great Reset and the Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development Goals can't be fully implemented as long as Putin is out there selling Russia's vast natural resources to whomever Putin wishes at whatever prices Putin wants to charge. So keep your eyes off the drama queen Trump, who will continue to be a domestic lightning rod for the dividing and conquering of America, and a convenient source of distraction that the globalists use to keep us passive and ignorant as to what is really going on. They could have lodged these silly charges against Trump at any time, but ask yourself, why did they wait till now? Stay focused instead on Washington's next chess move to counter Putin's so far successful strategy to put a fly in the ointment of the New World Order Sustainable Development scam, which if successful will result in you owning nothing and learning to like it. You will be forced to make your next car an electric vehicle that you will be allowed to charge only at certain times determined by the technocrats who control the increasingly limited power grid, which they envision being powered less and less by cheap, reliable, fossil fuels, and more by expensive, unreliable wind and solar. Even with the current amount of fossil fuels, there is not enough capacity to power everyone's electric cars. Imagine if all the gas cars were to be phased out over the next 10 years like the globalists want, and your only choice was an electric car that you can only plug in a limited number of times per month. You lose your freedom of movement. The same thing goes with their plan to phase out gas stoves and appliances. Everyone will be dependent on the increasingly weakened electric grid. Most of us would be relegated to a 19th century lifestyle in the country, are forced into stack and pack 15-minute cities where we can catch the subway and walk or ride a bike to everything we need, with the government's watchful eye on us 24/7. This is what's at stake. I'm not saying Putin is some paragon of Christian virtue. He is not. What I am saying is, this war is being fought over the future of global economics. When the dust settles, those economics will reach down and touch every one of us and determine our lifestyle. And it's through economics that the globalists intend to make us their slaves. That's why David Rockefeller, Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger initially referred to their New World Order as a New International Economic Order, because they knew that economics drives politics, not the other way around. Keep preparing. Mentally, physically and spiritually. God is watching. He will expose all the lies in due time. LeoHoman.com is 100% reader supported and is not beholden to any corporate advertisers or sponsors. To keep us online and growing, please consider a contribution of any size, which may be sent C.O. Leo Homan, P.O. Box 291, Noonan, Georgia, 30264, or via credit card below.